Thank you, Father, for those words. Thank you, Mashiach Yahushua, for giving us Holy Ruach, pouring out on us. Tonight, the session will be on really free will, choosing evil, Cain or Abel, and our parents. And so, something that we got to realize is, why does Yahweh record negative events?
Yeah,
and it's for us to learn. You know, real simple for us to learn. They're not out there. He could have left them off, and we didn't even know about it. And also, the fatherhood of all creation is Yahweh. That's Ephesians 3:14 through 15. Everybody, everything, including messengers, Satan, demons, all the hosts of heaven, which there's a lot of other things, principalities and powers and mights, are all come from Yahweh. So He is the Father. So we're going to begin in Isaiah 14:12. So we're going to look at one of Yahweh's children, and we call him Lucifer. He doesn't have a name. It's not Satan either, but obviously he's a created entity. So Isaiah, you want to...
I'm sharing with her.
Okay.
I'm reading in Spanish.
Isaiah 14, verse 12. The other thing, too, is what we're going to see in here, we got to really give leeway to parents when you see a radical or evil child. That doesn't mean the parents didn't raise them correctly. We're going to show you a whole host of very righteous parents with very evil children. So give them a break with all of this, because we're going to see they have freedom of will. 14:12. Let me get that. How hast thou fallen from heaven, O shining one? And that's what they transferred, Lucifer. But it's, O shining one, son of the dawn, hewed down to the earth, O crusher of nations. Yet thou didst say in thy heart, the heavens will I ascend, above the stars of El will I lift up my throne, that I may sit in the mount of assembly, in the recesses of the north. I will mount on the hills of the clouds, I will match the Most High. Howbeit to Sheol shall thou be brought down, to the recesses of the pit. And so, Yahweh, if anybody's an ideal father, it's Yahweh.
Yeah.
And here's one of his children trying to dethrone him. Okay.
Like Absalom.
So yeah, we can't say, well, Yahweh must be an absentee father.
Yeah.
And blame it on him. We don't have to go there, but in Revelations 12:4, one third of the messengers are being cast out of the heaven, which they also had a free will decision to rebel against Yahweh, their father. He's their father on that. And as you know, we'd have to go there, 2 Corinthians 11:13 to 15. And, you know, Satan, and Satan means adversary. It's a Hebrew word. It's not a proper name. Satan is a Hebrew word that means adversary. So right now, Hamas, or Islam, is an adversary of Israel, a Satan of Israel. 2 Corinthians 11:13 and 15, it talks about a Satan appearing as an angel of light and as ministers of angels of righteousness. So we go to one of the, here's the heavenly host, Yahweh's got problems. And we know there's certain messengers who are in prison, I think that's in Jude right now, who disobeyed their heavenly father. Now we're going to look at the first couple in Adam and Eve, and we know about Cain. But let's just look at this. Yeah, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, the first, you know, which is sad to say, but it does, you know, there's a big message here. The first offspring of Yahweh's creation is a murderer, you know, who chose. He wasn't a murderer. He chose to murder. He chose to rebel against Yahweh. So we see in 3 through 7, and we know Abel's sacrifice was accepted by Yahweh, and Cain's was not. So in verse 3, so it came to pass after certain days that Cain brought in the fruit of the ground, a present to Yahweh. Abel also, even he brought in the firstling of his sheep, another fat, and Yahweh approved of Abel and of his present, but of Cain and his present he approved not. And it angered Cain greatly, and his countenance, whenever you see countenance, it's the word face, his face fell.
Expression, yeah.
So then Yahweh said unto Cain, wherefore hath it angered? Now, so look at this. He's going to counsel us, his son. So we're all, the fatherhood of Yahweh is on all of us. He's going to counsel his son. Wherefore hath it angered thee, and wherefore hath thy face or countenance fallen? Shall not, if thou do right, be lifted up? All you got to do is do right. But if thou do not right, at the entrance a sin bearer is lying. Unto thee, moreover, shall be this longing, though thou rule over him. And Cain said unto Abel his brother, and we know Cain went out and murdered his brother. Why? Because Yahweh preferred his sacrifice over his. Is Cain going to yield to Yahweh's counsel?
No. Nope.
And this looks very obvious. And people would say, I can't believe Cain did that. Hmm. Well, how much of the Christian church do the exact same thing? Well, I don't do that. Yes, you do. 1 Corinthians 14. Absolutely. Verse 5. What's that say? Howbeit, I wish you all to speak with tongues. Does he say that to the whole body of Christ? Yes. And what do they say? I'll pass. What's the difference between what Cain did and they do? Nothing.
Well, the act itself is different.
Well, but Cain refused Yahweh's counsel. We're not talking about him murdering somebody, okay. But Cain refused the counsel of Yahweh.
Yeah.
When you tell a Christian, this is what Yahweh wants, what do they say?
Nope.
No, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Wow! And in verse 39, so then my brethren, be zealous to do what?
Prophesy.
Are you going to do that, church? I'll pass. What's the difference between you and Cain? How many other things in the scriptures where you say, not going to happen? Well, we know that in 1 Corinthians 5.
Chapter 5?
Yeah, chapter 5, verse 11. Well, we've done this over and over again. But now I have written unto you not to be mixing yourself up. If any man name a brother, be a fornicator, or a covetous, or idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or extortioner, do you have any associates in your life that fit this mold? And if you do, he says, at the bottom, verse 13, remove ye the wicked man from among yourselves. Real simple. If you say, nah, that's my sister. My sister's a drunkard, or my sister's a fornicator, or my son's a fornicator, or my sister's a fornicator. We see it all the time. We have family members, associates, but who have actually, if a person is a Democrat and voting for abortion, and they're voting for sodomy, and they're voting for taking from the rich, and this is part of their life, they're no different than Cain. Because Yahweh says, don't. And they go, yes, I'm going to do it. That's not what the teaching is about, but think of that. Just think of that. If the shoe fits, wear it.
Yeah.
And so what we see with Cain is, with all of us, with Satan, with the messengers, it is like a heart issue.
Yeah.
It's what they call, with Pharaoh, a hard heart. He hardened his heart. And that is Exodus 7, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 7. And we see over and over and over again where Yahweh says, I don't want to circumcise your flesh, I want to circumcise your heart. Mm-hmm. That if you refuse to love your husband as Christ loved the church, or you refuse to love your wife as Christ loved the church, then guess what? you are no different than Cain. Yahweh is saying, here's what husbands are supposed to do. Here's what wives are supposed to do. He tells husband and wives, your body's not your own. Your body is your husband. And he tells the wife, husband, your body is your wife's. And do not withhold that. Well, are you withholding? If you are, you're no different than Cain. I will not receive the counsel of Yahweh. My church doesn't. My church doesn't speak in tongues. My church doesn't prophesy. My pastor doesn't do any of these. And so I choose them rather than you, Yahweh, and said the word. Yeah, very powerful. And so we know that Cain, let's look at 16. This is very interesting. Back to Genesis 3. And we're going to look at these rebellious children. And they're adult children, obviously. And does the shoe fit? Does it wear it? You know. So Cain murdered Abel, his brother. So Cain went forth from the presence, that's the word pay, P-E-H, face, from the face of Yahweh and dwelt in the land of Nod. And so when we refuse to do what Yahweh says, we're going to leave the face of Yahweh. You know, I don't like him telling me what to do, so I'm going to go this way. Yeah. Well, I love Jesus. I love you. We'll do this. Well, no, I'm not going to do it. But I love Jesus. Well, Jesus died for you, so you could do this. Well, I'm not going to do that because I'm uncomfortable with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Or I love my parents. He's a drunkard. I'm not going to discard my parents. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, just like Cain. And so we don't even have to go here. Yeah, we'll go to some of them. I've got a whole list of families, and we call them dysfunctional families. All right, but they're great parents. Who knows? Isaac and Rebekah, we had a problem with Esau. Yeah, they were twins, Jacob, and that was in Genesis 27:41. He says, "I want to slay my brother, Jacob." Right?
Yeah.
So we know that's good. How about Jacob? Let's look at this. Simeon and Levi, Genesis 49:5. We'll go through some of these. Did Yahweh love Jacob?
Years later, we're reading about what?
Well, we're learning. Yahweh records all this information for us to put up our ears and don't talk the talk. Mm-hmm. You know, walk the walk. Yeah. Talk is cheap.
What did you say, 39:5?
No, 29.
Oh.
Genesis 49:5. And here's what Jacob, that's Jacob's real name, says, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of what?
Violence.
Violence are their agreements. Into their circle do not thou enter my soul. These are two sons. In their convocation, do not thou join mine honor. Jacob is dying. And here's the things he's talking about his sons.
Yeah.
Wow. For in their anger, they slew brave men, and in their wantonness, they hamstrung oxen. You know, these guys are wicked, and those are Jacob's sons. We go into Judah. This is kind of funny. Genesis 38:6. Go back a little bit. Judah 6:10. And Judah took a wife for Ur, his, you know, so he had two sons, Ur and Onan. For Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar, or Tamar.
Tamar.
And it came to pass that Judah's firstborn, was displeasing in the eyes of Yahweh. So what happened?
Yahweh put him to death.
So I wanted to get a little bit more information on that. But,
yeah.
So it then, so Judah then said, Judah to Onan, come in to thy brother's wife and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. So that's righteous because that's what Yahweh wants. And raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed would not be his, and so although he did go in unto his brother's wife, yet made he waste upon the ground so as not to give seed to his brother.
That's gross.
And it was what?
Displeasing
Isaac Yahweh what he had done, so he put him also to death. Okay, so Judah, you know, and this is the Christ line. Judah is the Christ line. You know, and so he ends up, you know, having sex with Tamar by accident. He thought it was his wife died, thought she was a harlot. That was wrong.
Like
and then she has a son, and guess what? That's the Christ line. Christ comes through Judah, through Tamar, so, you know, and through her children.
And Rahab, the prostitute.
Yeah, also. But let's go to Aharon, his two sons. So Judah had two sons, didn't go well. Then Aharon, Nadab, and Abihu, Leviticus 10. Now, this Aaron's a great guy. He's the prophet of Yahweh. So you think everything's fine.
What is strange fire?
Let's just read this, and I'll give it to you. Then Aharon's sons, in verse 1, Nadab and Abihu, took each man his censer. And we're going to find out, I believe the best point is they went into the Holy of Holies, which they were not supposed to go into. This is where the Ark of the Covenant is. And the only time you go into the Holy of Holies is the high priest once a year on the day of Yom Kippur. And place in their fire and put their... Are these holy guys? Yeah, so we think of being holy is pleasing. You know, we know of the drunkards and the thieves and the murderers, things like that. We don't look at people who are in the church who look very holy. They got the garments, got everything else, and it really makes Yahweh mad. All right? But they've got the guards. Are they holy? We're going to see a guy named Manasseh. He was very holy. He had shrines and things and sacrificed to all the gods of the heaven. So people are religious. Religion is not the correct word, but Yahweh's strange fire, which had not commanded them, doing things Yahweh did not command, then came forth fire from before Yahweh and consumed them, and they died before Yahweh. Wow. And keep reading on it, it will show you. You're not supposed to mourn. You know, fire came down from heaven. Boom. Judgment. As we see, we're in chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, why we think Yahweh did this. And you see the heading right above on the Rotheram, the great day of propitiation, once a year. So this is our context. And Yahweh spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aharon. There's the context. Who goes into the Holy of Holies? Only the high priest, which would have been Aharon, and not his sons. When they had offered strange fire before Yahweh and died, and Yahweh said unto Moses, speak unto Aharon thy brother, that he do not come in at all times to enter the holy place within the veil into the presence of the propitiatory, which is upon the altar, so shall he not die. Well, this is why they died. For in the cloud will I appear unto upon the propitiatory. And it's not atonement. You know, atonement's a bad word. Atonement means at-one-ment. A-T-O-N-E-M-E-N-T. So they say that's a stupid word. What does at-one-ment mean? It has nothing to do with, you know, it's kapur, or kafar, which means to cover with pitch or anything else. So it's a covering of the sins. But so atonement's a bad word. He does propitiatory, which is a good word.
So they're putting the blood to get rid of the sin.
Once a year, in the altar, you go in there, the cloud is in there, you know, which is it's fascinating because you have the holy and then you have the holy of holies, two different chambers. There's a drapery that separates them. You can see the arm, the rods that carry the ark, pushing on the curtains. That's what they're meant to do. So you can see this formation on the curtain, the two arms, and that's right behind that was the ark. Mm-hmm. Right. And you only went in there once a year for the deal. And then obviously there's light in there, so probably over the top when they go into the Holy of Holies, there's this light issuing out around the curtain or on the floor of the whole of Yahweh's presence. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's so cool.
Scary.
Don't push Yahweh. And here's what they did. They went in there. And we know the other people who looked into the ark.
Yeah.
There's a whole history of people looking into the ark, and they died. You don't open up the ark. You don't look into the ark. You don't touch the ark. Because Yahweh said don't do. Samuel, and here's a great prophet, Samuel, all the way his life. We go to 1 Samuel 8, 1 through 3. Samuel had drove kids? Golly.
His fault.
He should have. We know before this, we won't go there, Eli had two rogue kids. What were their names?
Hophni and Phinehas.
Hophni and Phinehas. And he was a prophet that served for 40, he was a judge of Israel for 40 years, but he did not discipline his sons. So guess what? He paid the price too. Because he chose his son. You cannot choose your family over Yahweh. Period. Ever.
His whole life.
You can't choose your wife, your children, or your husband. Yahweh's number one. That's it. All there is to it. If they decide to go someplace else, then I'm going with Yahweh. And you know, Eli should have got rid of his sons and said, you're banished from the kingdom. If not, we'll put you to death. And you bring up two other people who can be priests.
Well, I tell you to do that.
Yeah, and that is, we're not going to do that, but that's 1 Samuel 2, 22 to 25, but we're going to look at Samuel 8, 1 to 3. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he appointed his son judges to Israel, and the name of the firstborn was Yoel, and that is Yah is El, and the name of his second, Abijah, which is Ab is father, and Jah is Yahweh, my father is Yahweh. They were judges in Beersheba. Howbeit his sons walked not in his ways, but stooped to extortion and took bribes and perverted judgment. Golly, guys. You're just killing me here. You're killing my sons, my two sons. So at least one thing good, the wives aren't taking much responsibility. They don't mention, you know, your mother didn't do this and your mother didn't do that. It's all the fathers and his association, and it's all men, not women, who are doing these rebellions.
Samuel was a prophet, and he's the one that picked them too.
Yeah.
So they must have turned.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And so you're looking at as judges.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And now we're looking at David. You know, did he have a good life? Yeah, but he had a really hard life. Well, we don't have to go there necessarily, but Ammon, this is in 2 Samuel 13, 14 through 15, he raped his sister.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. David's sons. Absalom killed Ammon, which he should have, because according to the covenant, rape was the death sentence. If you raped, you were supposed to be put to death. David didn't do that. But then he becomes king. He tries to anoint himself. Absalom anoints himself as king. 2 Samuel 15, 9 to 11. Son of David. Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up getting his hair caught in a tree, trying to overthrow David, and dies. Adonijah, 1 King 1, 24, is a son of David. And he tries to overthrow Solomon. And then we see in Solomon, 1 King 11, 11. Let's go there. He did a good life for quite a while. But let's look at 1 Kings 11. 11. Man. And why does Yahweh pour out all this information on Solomon? The child of David and Beersheba that he named, and he was called Peace, and he prospered him like no other man. He gave him wisdom like no other man alive. And then Solomon ends his life. And why? Because of foreign women. All right? You think you're so important that you can go ahead and break these laws.
Well, we have to remember, though, is that he had, what, 40 years?
Yeah, and so he might have 35 years of really good service. You know, but it says, 11 verse 1, the king Solomon loved many foreign women together with the daughter of Pharaoh. And said, you shall go unto them. Unto these did Solomon cleave in his love. And so it's talking about when he was 100.
and 4. Verse 4, it talks about when he was in his old age.
Yeah, his old age. But we're looking at 11. Wherefore Yahweh said unto Solomon, how did he say this? It's usually through prophets, sending in prophets. For as much as this hath come to pass with thee, and thou hast not heeded my covenant and my statutes which I charged upon thee, I will rent the kingdom away from thee and will give it unto a servant of thine. Sad, sad situation. He ended so, I mean, how, with all of us, you know. How about your pastor? Okay. Same situation. He was like the pastor of a whole nation. And you look at a pastor and all of a sudden you're not doing the word and you're not teaching the word. And you're bringing in religious things. Was Solomon religious?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because these are all altars for his wife, to please his wife. Mm-hmm. Does a pastor do that to please his congregation? Yes. And many times they have that temptation because the congregation wants you to okay sodomy. Well, we're going to call that, we're going to call it gay. You know, mm-hmm. They're just born that way. And this inculcation that starts happening, they can crumble to it. Now, the pressure. And they choose their congregation over themselves. Let's go to 1 Kings 12:13, and this is Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and he's the son of Solomon, obviously, and the king answered the people harshly, and this is Rehoboam, and declined the counsel of the elders wherewith they had counseled him, and spake unto them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add unto your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. This is, the offspring of Solomon,
who brought forth,
and his mother was not a Hebrew. So very important. Look at that. Rehoboam's mother was not a Hebrew, and this starts the problem. People marrying people who are not part of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll convert. Oh, they're really nice people or something like that. You're making the same thing because in 1 Corinthians 7, it says, if you marry only in the Lord, mm-hmm. only in the Lord. It's not an option. Only in the Lord. And this will not happen to you. How about Jehoshaphat? 2 Chronicles 21. Great king. And wait till he gets resurrected and he'll get his applause, but he has no idea what sins he committed and the consequences of those sins until he's resurrected. How are all my children? Oh, well, let's roll back that movie.
Yeah.
Your son, Jehoram.
Okay.
Now, this is chapter 21, verse 4.
2 Corinthians 21?
No, 2 Chronicles.
Or Chronicles, I mean.
Sorry, 2 Chronicles, chapter 21,
okay,
verse 4.
Okay.
So, Jehoshaphat puts Jehoram in charge. His wife is a lovely person called Athaliah. His mother was Jezebel and Ahab. Oh, that's a nice family tree that you're making.
Yeah.
And that's through Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's responsible for this. And when Jehoram had arisen over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and did what? Slew all his brethren with the sword. All his, it's not, what do you kill your brothers? Patricide?
Patricide is where you kill your father, I think.
Well, that's fat, but I'm thinking that this is, you got matricide and fatricide, family killing. You right. killed all your brothers. You murdered them, so all your brethren with the sword. Moreover, also some of the rulers of Israel. Well, good job, Jehoshaphat. And we find out later on, Jehoram's wife, Athaliah, kills all Jehoram's grandchildren, mm-hmm. except for one. Yeah, great. So we're looking at it, and Yahweh tells us all this. Why are you telling us? Learn, because when we get to meet Christ and Yahweh, how'd I do?
Oh, remember what I told you?
Well, Chuck told you this verse to say, I want you to prophesy and speak in tongues. How'd you do? I thought that went out with the apostles. That's what my pastor said. Yeah, yeah. Next. Yeah, I mean, are you faithful on these little things? No, I'm not faithful on that thing. How about Hezekiah? 2 Chronicles 33. He had a lovely son. Yeah, 2 Chronicles 33. His name was Manasseh. Hezekiah was a great king. He finished very well. 1 through 4. 33, 1 through 4. 12 years old was Manasseh when he began to reign, and 55 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and he did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, according to the abominable ways of the nation that Yahweh did possess from before his sons of Israel. And he again built the high places. Now think of this. If you've ever been to Italia, which is Italy, the Catholic domain, there's everything is about who?
Mary.
Mary and the baby Jesus. It's just idolatry everywhere that you, in every church, there, and it's the same way today. People are praying to Mary. Is that holy? Is that religious? Yes.
Religious.
Is it instructed? Are we told to do that?
Yep.
Absolutely not. Is she alive? No, she's dead. They tell us that, you know, Catholics will say this, it was her assumption. Which means she never died, she just ascended into heaven. Well, the Bible, Yahweh's word never says that. They said that she never had sexual intercourse with Joseph. And we know, every Protestant knows, yeah, she did.
She had a lot of children.
She had children. And we know that James and Joseph and all the brothers and sisters of Yahushua. But what are the Catholics going to say? Nah. Everybody called people family members, and so they just likely erase that. And where do Protestants do the same thing? You can see it very easily with any Catholic. Where do you? And it used to be you had St. Christopher's Medal for travel. You prayed to St. Christopher, and you had gods all over the place. And that's in Italy today, not as much as it was. Now, where are the Protestants doing? We can show you what the Protestants are doing. The same thing in different areas. And he again built the high place which Hezekiah's father had thrown down, and set up altars to the Baalim and made sacred stems. And guess what? I bet you with all these sexual encounters were part of the ritual.
Yeah.
And always the sexual encounters is part of the religion. Prostitutes, male prostitutes, female prostitutes. And bowed in prostration unto all the army of the heavens, and served them, and built altars in the house of Yahweh, as which Yahweh said. Isn't it amazing that today Yahweh is not even in their books? Mm-hmm. In Protestant book or Catholic books, Yahweh doesn't even exist in their books. And that's okay.
Who does that? Who did that?
Yeah, who did that? Well, my father had it. Well, I don't know. Is it Yahweh? All these weird names. Your whole creator's name is being wiped out of the book, and people aren't offended. People are not, how would you call it? How dare you erase my creator from his own book?
Yeah.
Now, are you going to reinstall it? I like the Lord, the Lord. And it's a problem because Jesus is my God and not Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make it Yahweh, then it becomes very confusing, and then I feel uncomfortable about Jesus not being my God. Alright? And that's why I do that. And so think of that. That's Protestant church, Catholic church.
Mm-hmm.
Today. And then we see a Josiah, we don't have to go there, a great king when he was turned.
Yeah.
And he had, one brother was taken off to Egypt. He only ruled for 3 months, and his other brother, Jehoiakim, which is a new name in 2 Chronicles 36:5, verse 5. You know, he had 11 years of wickedness in Jerusalem. Why did Jerusalem fall? Because of wickedness. You know, Hezekiah kept it going. How about Yahushua? He had a child, and his name was Judas. So let's just call his 12 apostles children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he did such a bad job, Judas, and Judas is Greek for actually Judah. His name is actually Judah, not Judas. And so Yahushua knows all this. And so we can't look at people's children, adult children, and say, boy, did you mess up?
Yeah.
You know, no. You know, they could have messed up. All right, see? Yeah. So that's the end of that. Now we're going to do one other little dessert. And it's on...
In Revelations, right?
Two major historical events. In our society, we're lied to and saying that people were cavemen, right? So no matter what, even if you go with that logic that there was one person, amoeba, grew into a human and the other amoeba grew into a female, how many billions of years or whatever this was, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But they cohabitated and they produced offspring. And then they learned a language and they would have taught their offspring communication, correct? Okay. And that same communication would have been handed down to all of mankind in one way or another. Has to be. Right? Because that's children learn from their parents. And if it starts from the top down, and so we end up with Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve, we know the same situation. There was one language. Today, there are 7,151 languages spoken. Wow. Now, how did that happen? There are... Asia, there's 2,300 languages. In Europe, there's 280 languages. Well, how could... That doesn't... Everybody came from Adam and Eve, and then after the flood, who was there left?
Noah.
Yeah, there was three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Do they speak the same language?
Yeah.
Does all mankind come from these guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up with these languages? Because, and when you're looking at how many groups are different, not even close languages. There's no similarities whatsoever. Not European, Indo-European, and all these other stuff. You look at Chinese, you look at Hebrew, you look at English. You know, there's no association with all these things. So that shows you Yahweh did something.
Yep.
And that goes into... But before he did something, he also said, how did people get into Australia from... Mesopotamia. So everybody knows civilization started in Mesopotamia. How did you get into
Australia?
Hawaii.
Well, Hawaii, all the islands, the Americas. You know, let's go to Genesis 9:25. Yahweh tells us that. So this is good for us just to hit people to say, listen, what they're telling you is just baloney. Look at 9, let me see here, 9:25. And to Abler was born two sons, and the name of one was Peleg, and in his days was the earth what? Divided.
You said 9:25?
Yeah, Genesis, or 10, I'm sorry, 10, yeah, it should be 10:25, okay. Wrong. 10:25, and to Abler were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days was the what?
Earth divided.
And name of his brother was Joachim. That's all there is. Planet Earth separated. Everybody with the same language so far. But they just, you know, I lived south, and now, where the hell are we now? He went to the south, you know, the south. South
sleep again.
Yeah, and you got Antarctica and everything else just drifted off, and all of a sudden you're like, I guess I won't see those guys for a while. Now we go back to languages, which you know it is called Babel. Genesis 11, so not Genesis 10 begins first. And now, guess what? These people are still communicating, and you got masses of people. Just even on Genesis 6, on the flood, you had probably billions of people who all spoke the same language and all were put to death. Wickedness. So when people look at the, you know, man is basically good. Yeah, Cain.
Yeah.
No, man has freedom of will. He can harden his heart or he can obey the Creator.
So
it's one or the other. You're going to. Life is real simple. You're either a Cain. Or you're what?
An Abel.
That's it. You're a Cain or an Abel. There's just two divisions. But in 11, verse 1 through 9, and so it came to pass that all the earth was of one manner of speech and of one stock of words. And so that doesn't make sense. Because if it made sense that you could see generations, people don't just move from their family and make up a whole other language.
Yeah.
Because now what am I going to do? How am I going to... Well, Brad used to say this, and now I'm going to call it bourgeois. Yeah, that's it. I'm going to record it or something and write it down so we can learn this new language that I'm going to create. And I'm going to have a lexicon to explain to people what this new language is, because I'm going to do it voluntarily. Two, and it came to pass as they break away onwards, they found a plain in, we know that. We don't have to go there, but the Tower of Babel. And so Yahweh, what explains all these languages and what explains people being so far apart that you can say nobody can live there? And what it looks so different. You know, you got an Eskimo, and you got an Aboriginal, and you have an African, and you got a European, you got an Asian, and you all come from the same stock? Yeah. Did they all have the same language? Yes, at one particular time.
And then Yahweh did a thing.
And there's another thing, too, that explains why some people are so primitive. Because remember, everybody came from the same stock. Why are the American Indians in 1600s don't have the wheel, don't have language, don't have metal? They got sticks. They got sticks.
Yeah.
Well, God, I remember Rome at 300 BC having great empires. They got concrete. They got steel. You got David. You got swords. You got bronze swords. You have wheels. You have riding horses. You got everything going on here. Well, how does this happen? Because when people break away, you got a civilization of some people leaving, and knowledge goes with them. And generally, they become brutes. And so if you're not following Yahweh, you actually become a brute.
You devolve.
Yeah, you devolve. It's not evolving. You actually devolve. And so we see Africa connected to Jerusalem, to Mesopotamia, right? Mm-hmm. So Mesopotamia is all civilization. That's where Abraham was. And so it's still the same continent. You can walk from Africa. How did sub-Saharan Africa become so primitive from Europe? And that's it. Because what you had is the people who rebelled. And then they lost the knowledge on how to make metal. They lost the knowledge on how to do the wheels. And so what you're doing is, and then you got generations where it's just survival. You live in huts. You eat people, become cannibals.
Well, like
you can't get this.
After the Romans left.
Yeah, so it is. And so these are very just common sense. Just follow the course. Okay, we'll stop there. Sorry. Go too long. So we'll hear from our Heavenly Father according to 1 Corinthians 14, a prophecy. Way, open your eyes and see the reality that is around you, that I have put you in, that you are instruments of mine in order that you may show people me, that I can be manifested through your lifestyle, through your body, through your words, through your life. So at all times, do my word, practice my word, meditate upon my word, consume my word, and it will issue forth from you. See you next week.
Hallelujah.